Blog Talk Radio.
His biggest problem is this.
Calling all sports fans, there's only one place to go to get all your sports news, information, radio shows, sports talk, anything that you want to do, that's RFSN, the Real Fan Sports Network. Log on to realfansportsnetwork.com to hear shows from across the country. And of course, make sure you can hear this show on the Real Fan Sports Network. Go to TuneIn Radio on the TuneIn Radio app and search for RFSN to get sports talk 24/7 from a fan's perspective. That's the Real Fan Sports Network, realfansportsnetwork.com.
And welcome everyone to another edition of The Late Shift. It is Tuesday, and again, I'm coming to you live from the mountains of Bozeman, Montana. We had a great show last night. In case you missed it, make sure you go to iTunes and download the podcast. Just search for The Late Shift or search for RF Sports Radio. Thanks to everyone that downloaded last night's podcast and also everyone that called in. And we always welcome your phone calls, so give us a call, 323-927-2906. Got a lot to talk about tonight, and I'll talk to you guys about why I'm still in Montana. Thought I'd be in Dallas tonight. We're also going to talk to Royce, who will be joining me here in a few minutes, to talk about the Los Angeles Clippers and what they did to the Mavericks last night. A big win for them, especially to end their four-game losing streak. And we're also going to have a guest pop on. We'll have Liddell, the closer, Williams, to jump on and talk about his upcoming fight and also about the Mayweather and Pacquiao potential fight on May 2nd, if it will happen. So we'll talk about that as well, too. So let me bring on our co-host for tonight, Mr. Royce. Richard Royce, how are you, sir?
Hello, right now, how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm looking out at the mountains here. It's a little snow on the ground. The mountains are not covered with snow. It snowed pretty much all day today. And I'm still in Montana and looking forward to coming home tomorrow. So,
well, I'm sure you are. I'm pretty sure there's not a whole lot to do up.
All right, looks like we lost Roy. Royce, you still there? Looks like his call, it got dropped. So hopefully he'll join us here in just a second. As I mentioned, you know, last night was a great show because we talked a lot about Dean Smith, the former UNC head coach, and was able to really talk about some of the things he did with civil rights, especially in North Carolina. We've got a lot of reaction from that. So if you miss it again, do go back and download that podcast. Royce is back online with us as well. Sorry about that, Royce. Looks like you got dropped some kind of way. Now, last night, you weren't able to make the show, but you were live and in person to watch this Clippers team without Blake Griffin take on the Mavericks, needing a big win. They get one last night. And the Mavericks suffered some injuries as well, too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The Clippers came in hobbling in without Blake Griffin and J.J. Well, I thought J.J. Redick wasn't going to play, but it was the last-minute coaching change, and he did play. And you're absolutely right. The Mavericks suffered two great injuries last night. Tyson Chandler and Monte Ellis both in the first quarter, which gave the Mavericks absolutely no firepower. Tyson Chandler played he went out the first 10 minutes of the game with a bad foot sprain. And before the quarter was in, Monte Ellis went out. And I still don't know the severity of his injury, but I'm told I think it's a groin pull. But the Mavericks were pretty much depleted after that. And I tell you, it just left Monte Jordan with just a wide. He looked like Will Chamberlain last night. So many rebounds.
You mean
I think he scored about
DeAndre Jordan, right?
DeAndre Jordan last night. He looked like Will Chamberlain grabbing all the rebounds because the Mavericks had no answer for that.
Yeah, that, it was a big game for Jordan as well as just a big game for Jordan for Crawford, as well, Jamal Crawford as well, who had a big game last night also. From my understanding, from what I'm hearing about the Mavericks, I know they're going to have an MRI with Monte Ellis coming up, I think, in the morning. And then Chandler's already been ruled out against the Utah Jazz and may not even return till after the All-Star break. So there's a lot kind of going on. So, I mean, what are they going to do if they have to fill in for Tyson Chandler?
Yeah, Well, they have three stars out. Greg Smith came in and played a little last night, but of course, you know, he's a little rusty. He sits on a bench a lot. But the biggest surprise to me was Charlie B. He came in and scored 29 points, and he was just fantastic. Without his points, the Mavericks would have been blown away even worse. But I don't know. The Mavericks in trouble now. They got the three best players, the three starters, Rondo, Tyson Towns, and Monte Ellis. And guys, coach, as you stated last night, is going to step up, you know. So I'm pretty sure right now they missed Brendan Wright. He would have been a good
coach. Exactly. And my sources have told me that they've had conversations today with Sarge, Bernard James, about coming back and filling in for Tyson Chandler, who may miss more time than we think based on his injury. So it's going to be a very, very close thing that everyone needs to watch. And, of course, they play the Jazz coming up, who a team they should beat. But, again, without, like you mentioned, without three guys, without Rondo and Ellis and Tyson Chandler, I mean, it's going to make it a lot harder for the Mavericks. And they can't lose a lot of games, especially to Western Conference teams, because the way the West is kind of stacked up.
Yeah, yes, in the top 7-8 teams in the West, you can't afford to lose not one game. And with Oklahoma City gaining ground, man, I tell you, that West is going to be tough. You can't afford to lose not even one game.
All right, again, thank you guys for checking us out tonight. Again, we're taking your phone calls. Also, send some messages on Twitter at RF Sports Radio. And again, you can always download the podcast on on iTunes, and also go to TuneIn Radio to listen to 24/7 Sports Talk. Tonight's podcast is being brought to you by Rally House. So make sure you go to the rfsportsradio.com site, click on the Rally House button where you can get your college apparel or pro team apparel, and you're going to get free shipping because you listened to our show tonight. Let's bring on our guest for tonight. This is Liddell, the Closer Williams, pro boxer, undefeated. As an amateur, had a great amateur record, was part of the USA boxing team at one time. He's been fighting pro. Didn't get a chance to fight a lot last year, but he's got some big fights coming up. So let's welcome to the program Mr. Liddell, the Closer Williams. How you doing, sir?
Hey, how's it going?
Hello, Liddell. How you doing?
All right, how's it going? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you okay.
Yeah, how you doing? It's Roy.
I can hear you. What did you say?
Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can hear y'all pretty good. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we got you loud and clear.
Yeah, coming
man,
in
loud
here.
And clear. Well, welcome to the program, first of all. And if you can, kind of give us an update about your career. You only got a chance to fight once last year, but I think from what you told me, at least what I know, you're going to be starting out this year a lot different than years past.
Yeah, this year is going to be a lot different. I downsized my team. The focus is all the way back. And I'm just really ready to compete this year. I've always been ready to compete, but, you know, I had a lot of obstacles in the way. I removed a lot of those obstacles. I'm ready to really get a world of show.
Yeah, you got
well,
a fight
this
coming
is
up
going
here.
Go ahead, Rodney.
Go ahead, Russ. Go ahead, Russ.
I just want to ask him if I can get you a fight with Mayweather, would you take it? That's the way things
yeah,
going. He'd fight everybody else. But Pacquiao, you think I can get you to fight him? You take the fight?
I mean, yeah, I'll take that fight. That's $1 million fight. I'll take that fight any day.
Okay.
Yeah, you've got a fight coming up on March 28th. Any news on who you going to be fighting or anything you can give us and the people listening?
They haven't told me who I'm fighting yet. They're trying to find someone. But I really just got the call last week. They told me that I want to fight. I told them, yeah, I'm ready. So I know it's March 28th at the Majestic. The Majestic Theater down, it's in Dallas. I can't remember where I just know it's the Majestic. You can go to BigCardPromotions.com and it'll tell you more about it.
And then you're planning a fight right after that too, hopefully, right?
Yeah, if I can go in and do what I need to do, I can. I'm gonna try to turn around and fight right like the following week, April 4th, that first weekend.
Now, when you say go in and do what you have to do, I mean, are you saying that you're gonna have to go in there and shut this guy down? Are we expecting like a Mike Tyson type of performance, or what needs to happen?
Yeah, that's what I got. It's pretty much just like a Mike Tyson performance. I'm going to have to go in there and stop him in the first round, which if I do, I do. If I don't, I just don't. Because if I stop him in the first round, I can turn around and fight April 4th. But if I don't, you get suspended. You automatically get suspended from competition like 3 days for each round you fight. So anything past the first round, I won't be able to make the next fight. So I need to go ahead and stop him in the first round. But hey, if it come, it come. If it don't, it don't. But I'm definitely going for it though.
Lede, I got a question for you. How long does it take to really prepare for a fight? I mean, what all do you have to go through?
It's like really going to hell and back to really get in tip top shape. It takes me about going from like 0% in shape, it'll take me about 10 weeks. But like just from fight to fight, it takes about like 6 to 8 weeks.
And this is every day, same routine and getting your body in shape and your mind and stuff.
Yes, yeah, it's every day, no rest days. Sometimes you can squeeze in a rest day, but most of the times you're going full throttle for 7 days a week for those 6 to 8 weeks.
And that also includes like a diet, a certain kind of diet you have to do too?
Yeah, I'm always going down in weight, so it's a lot of cutting back in food. Make sure you're putting the right foods in your body. Give me the strength to, you know, so you can keep performing at top level.
Okay. And Liddell, I'm looking at the Big Card website, and it is it's going to be March 28th, that Saturday. It's called the Night of Champions 2. And if I remember correctly, the Night of Champions 1, Mike Tyson was the host. Is he going to be the host for this event on the 28th?
Man, honestly, I don't know. Like, man, honestly, I just been working regardless. I told myself I was gonna fight by March or April regardless, and I just happened to get the call. My coach called me with the call, and so I told him, yeah. He said, you want to fight? I said, yeah. So all the details, I really don't know. I guess they'll unfold more to me. We get closer.
You just ready to fight.
Yeah, that's what I am. I'm just ready to fight.
I hear you. Lede,
why did you choose boxing?
I chose boxing because it's more so on you. I used to like football. Then I end up getting in some trouble in college. But then once I got in a trouble, started thinking about it. Like, man, I can come back and try to make it to the league. But I was saying, nah, the school I'm at, it depends on these other 10 players on the field, too. So I said, forget that. Let me just go pick up boxing full-time instead of part-time like I've been doing.
Okay.
We're joined by Liddell, the closer, Williams. Of course, you can follow him online. And, Liddell, let everybody know how to follow you on social media as well, too.
All my social media is at Liddell the Closer, LadellTheClosser. Liddell the Closer.
That's and Instagram, again, before we let you go, it seems like every time we have you on the program, we have to ask you about everything going on in boxing as well, too. And I want to get your opinion on this because you follow the sport. You know a lot about the business of sport, of the boxing sport, and how it kind of works and things that will happen and won't happen. You know, we've asked you about this Mayweather and Pacquiao fight before, but on May 2nd, in your opinion, will they fight? Now, before you answer the question, just realize we all feel like, on the outside looking in, that they're closer now than they ever been before. They met in person. I saw a video of some hotel meeting they had last week. I know that Bob Arum is involved some kind of way, and they said it won't happen as long as he's in there. But you have to admit they're closer now than they have been before. So I want to ask a fellow boxer, do you think that they will finally put the gloves on and meet in the ring on May 2nd?
It is closer than it's ever been. But will they? I personally just really don't know. But I feel like if only way they will fight is if it happened now. It got to happen this time because Florida only got two fights left. And, you know, it's still a possibility that Manny that Pacquiao can beat him. So if they do fight, it'll have to be this fight. So if Floyd do lose, he can rematch for the next fight in September. But if they don't fight in May, they're not fighting in September. So it's either now or never. But I really hope that's a fight I do want to see. Everybody want to see. So I really hope that they fight. And it's closer than it's ever been. So hopefully they can work past. I think their biggest problem right now is like getting where they're going to broadcast it at. Because Florida's under that contract with Showtime. And then,
you know, I'm like you and everybody else in the general public, man. That's the only fight that anybody wants to see. And I would not buy another Mayweather fight unless he's fighting Pacquiao, because I don't want to see him fight anybody else. This fight has been 5 years in the making, and that's how anybody wants to see it. I don't understand why it's taking so long, and I don't believe it until it's actually going to be broadcast, and then I will believe it, because every time they say it's close and this and that, something always comes up. But, I mean, who else is that else out there to fight?
He can't fight nobody else. And, you know, he was the pay-per-view king at one time. But his numbers are even going down because people just really don't want to see him fight nobody else. But there's nobody left of his caliber to fight but Pacquiao. Pacquiao, I don't want him as well. Yeah. So if he don't fight Pacquiao, people ain't going to buy no more fights to Mayweather.
Well, I know it couldn't be the money because Mayweather has plenty of money. So why is he ducking this guy?
Pacquiao has a chance of beating him. Seen Pacquiao get knocked out before, so that shows you, like, he don't care about getting hit. So Everybody else care about getting hit. Getting beat up by Floyd, but Pacquiao went curse, so Pacquiao really got a chance of beating him. Everybody else is like, I don't want to get hit by him, I don't want to get hit by him. So that's how you end up beating him, because they're thinking too much. So Pacquiao done been knocked out a few times, lost a few times, so he knows, look, in order to beat him, I've got to attack him.
Well, we're going to wait and see. I mean, we're going to be on pins and needles, but before that happens, we'll be ringside watching you knock somebody out in the first round on March 28th, the Night of Champions at the Majestic Theater. So I want to thank you for joining us, man, and we'll continue to follow you in your career, man. You know, we support you 100% here. So make sure everybody goes online, follow you at Liddell the Closer. Follow him on Facebook and on Twitter, and we look forward to the fight, man.
All right, thank y'all for having me, man. Just call me whenever, let me know whenever. I'll be back.
Well, I plan on being there myself, man. I want to see this.
All right, well, I'll see you guys on the 28th then.
All right. Thanks, Liddell. That was Liddell the Closer Williams joining us really fast, talking a little bit about boxing. Great, great kid, great guy, real humble, and he is definitely hungry this year, trying to fight two back-to-back fights a week apart. And I think it's very interesting that he has to go in there and knock this guy out quick in order to get that next fight. I hope that pressure doesn't really get to him and make him make a mistake, but he seems really focused this time.
Yeah, he does. And I tell you what, that would be the fight of the century, and I really think Pacquiao had the chance, and this may be Mayweather's last fight, depending on if he win or lose.
Let's jump into some more sports real fast just to give you guys a quick breakdown of some of the things that are happening that you'll be talking about all day tomorrow. One of the things that we did last night, Royce, that you missed while you were at the game is we talked a lot about Dean Smith and what he's done, not just for basketball and the players he's coached, but really what he did for the civil rights and segregation of North Carolina. We talked about some of the stories of him going with black students in the white diners when segregation was officially passed and stuff he did in the 60s. We're recruiting the first black player to North Carolina, Charlie Scott, and even an interesting story about when he helped a graduate student buy a home in an all-white neighborhood in Chapel Hill, and that student later became actually the mayor of Chapel Hill. So I want to give you just a few minutes that if you can, if you want to, kind of comment on Dean Smith, because you were able to watch basketball at that time and kind of knew about a lot of this stuff that was going on.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And we talk about North Carolina, probably one of the most divided states when it comes to racial equality. But, you know, it takes a big man to stand up back then in those days, and he really put himself out there on a limb. And if you hear the players talk about it, man, he's such a class act. I've never heard anybody say a bad word about it. And Michael Jordan loved him like a dad. And just about everybody that played for him. He was a real class act. Always carried himself in a great way. The players respected and loved him. His coaching skills were off the chart, man. I mean, anybody that was coached by him turned out really well, either in the basketball life or either in the private life. But he was a real big class act. And like I said, he was a head above shoulders when it comes to being a man's man. And to stand up with black folks in that time, man, really, you really put yourself out there. So, you know, I hope he rests in peace, man, and he will be missed. And I like to say he's a real class act.
And I failed to mention yesterday that he had actually a 96% graduation rate for his students. And that just sounds kind of unheard of in today's climate of college basketball. And he had some of the greatest players ever play basketball come through his program. So that's a huge deal. The other thing that caught my attention today, and I don't know if you caught this, Royce, but I was in the hotel today and I was watching, you know, TV and watching the Montana news. And there's something I need to talk about when I'm not in Montana, because the Montana news is totally different than the news I watch when I'm in Dallas. Let's just say the crimes are totally different. So if there is any crime. But I was watching First Take today, and they had Magic Johnson on, who was on for an hour. He was great.
Right.
As
great
always,
show,
always
man.
Speaks his mind. And this is what he would talked about with him and Stephen A. and with Skip about the Lakers and Jim Buss. I thought this was very interesting. Of course, we know that Magic is not a Jim Buss fan. He never has been. Jim Buss has even accused Magic of being kind of upset with him because he didn't get that role when his father died, Dr. Jerry Buss. But I want to play a few minutes of his comments that he made, and I want to kind of react to it and talk about it a little bit. This was Magic Johnson on ESPN's First Take this morning.
His biggest problem is this. His father was smart enough to understand that, you know what, I can own the team, but I don't have the basketball expertise to make those decisions. So let me bring in Jerry West, one of the best, or if not the best mind in basketball, to make basketball decisions. And then he consulted guys like myself, right? Hey, what do you think about this, Magic? Right. Well, if we trade for this guy, what does that mean for our team, right? Guess what Jim's doing? Trying to do it himself, trying to prove to everybody that this was the right decision, that my dad gave me the reins, and he's not consulting anybody that can help him achieve his goals and dreams, which is to win the NBA championship.
I have to pose this question, then Skip, I'm to you, but this is a very important question. It's very serious, but you're the only person I know that can answer this question. Jim Buss has given the impression to folks in Laker Nation that not bringing Phil back and making a couple of other decisions, it wasn't me. It was what my dad, the late, great Dr. Buss, wanted. even though obviously when Dr. Buss was ill, he was communicating with Jim, and that was what Jim was conveying to the public, as opposed to obviously hearing that from Dr. Buss himself. What do you make about those proclamations?
This is where I have the problem, Stephen A. When you're wrong, you're wrong, and you got to stand up and say, I made a mistake.
Right.
He has not once said to Laker Nation, Mike Brown, I made a mistake. Coach D'Antoni, I made a mistake. Just say, hey, I made a mistake. We can understand that. Okay, we can deal with that. He always put it on somebody else. Then he's mad at me because I criticized him. Right? Oh, Magic's trying to get a job with the Lakers. Magic's trying to, you know, bring me down. No, I'm not. I'm telling the truth about the situation, trying to make us better, trying to get us to a winning situation in terms of the Lakers back to being relevant, winning again. So you get mad at me when I tell the truth. Then you're saying, oh, he's just jealous because my dad picked me over him. No, I decided to sell my shares. That was my decision. I knew I wanted to do something else. So quit blaming pointing the finger at everybody else instead of pointing the finger at yourself. Just say you made mistakes, and we can live with that.
How's your relationship with him right now?
That was Magic Johnson, our first take. Real, I thought, very, very poignant words from him stating his position on the whole matter. And I'm going to get your reaction, Royce, but when I first watched it and listened to that, you know, I thought, man, Magic is just kind of crossing the line a little bit. I mean, he's not part of the ownership group anymore. He's not a part of their front office a little bit, although he is Magic Johnson. He is a big part of Laker Nation. But, I mean, some things I think you should handle or say to an individual, not on a platform as big as First Take, knowing that everybody's going to be watching it and reacting to it and running with it. I just thought maybe he said a little bit too much, a little bit too much of his feelings.
Well, Rhonda, I didn't find anything wrong with it. I found out a lot of information. And really, you know, you're a Laker fan. Everybody want to know what happened to the Lakers. I mean, you're talking about fall from grace. That was a big fall from grace. And you almost have to feel sorry for Kobe Bryant. I've never, in his entire career, felt sorry for Kobe Bryant. Now think about it. One of the best players in the world, automatic Hall of Famer, and look at him. He's by himself. And you think about it, he's a man on an island by himself because they have nothing else. And he had to look at this past summer, and, you know, they had Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard didn't want to stay in L.A. There's some reason why, and they even tried to court Carmella, LeBron James. Well, why is it that nobody wants to go to L.A.? I mean, look, you love L.A. I love L.A. It's perfect weather, perfect fans. I mean, who wouldn't want to play in L.A.? Why doesn't anybody want to go play in L.A.? And that kind of explained that to me because the way the organization is run. So I got a lot of information out of that. I don't think it was too critical. Just like Magic said, I thought he told the truth.
But don't you think there was a little bitterness?
What's wrong with
the world was saying? It was a little bit of, you know, I'm not being consulted. I'm not involved. He's not talking to me. He's
now,
not
he
asking
said he
my
wasn't
opinion.
Consulting anybody else.
But I feel like Magic
that's
was
what
saying
I got
that
out
he took
that,
a bit
he
of
was,
him not being involved.
Well, now, okay. It's kind of like your favorite team, the Cowboys. When Jerry was trying to do everything by himself, wasn't consulting anybody else, what happened to the Cowboys? They fell from grace. They were pitiful. And now he's starting to listen to folks. I know he makes a lot of decisions, but Jerry admitted he had made a mistake. He said that. So
now, don't get me wrong.
I think
any good boss, any good CEO, for that matter, has a good team around him. He surrounds himself around people that are usually smarter than
absolutely
he is. And most teams, I mean, going even back to last night we talked about Popovich getting his 1,000 win. Well, part of that reason was because he had a great GM and a great ownership group. Any coach that's won or any team that's won, the front office was just as great as the guys on the floor in most cases. So I get that. I understand that. I just think that, you know, I'm always from the train of thought or the school of thought that you can't bring up an issue without bringing up a solution. And I don't know behind the scenes what Magic has done. I know he mentioned that him and Jim Buss don't have any kind of relationship. They don't speak, although him and Jeannie Buss are very, very close. But I just hope that Magic behind the scenes is still making itself available and having these conversations with Jim, if Jim wants to have those conversations with him. And to hear you say that you feel sorry for Kobe Bryant, I'm touched, because you know how much of a Kobe Bryant fan I am.
Right.
I don't want to see him limp on the court next year, but that's what's going to happen, and he knew that. That's why he took that kind of money.
Even the Kobe haters, I don't want to see Kobe reduced to this, go out like this. He maybe have another year to play, but who wants to see Kobe Bryant, with all the success he has, with all the acclimates he has, to go out like this? I mean, nobody does. If anybody, they owe it to the fans, because everybody in the NBA envied the Lakers for years, years and years. And now look at them, and people don't have anything but pity for the Lakers. I mean, that's a big turnaround. And it all goes back to management. I thought it was informative. And Magic said even when he played, it was more so that they discussed that with the players. I know he was the leader of that team. But, like I say, you had Jerry West and you had Pat Riley, you had Phil Jackson, and they've had three coaching changes in the last couple of years, and even the coaches wasn't a good fit. You even questioned when they hired Mike Brown.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And then they brought in D'Antoni, and the first thing he did was said Paul Gasol, one of the best players. Now he's averaging 18 points a game. He's the starter in the All-Star game. Right, absolutely. So, I come on, man. That's all I got to say. And, you know, I think Jerry, and, you know, I'm trying to compare Jerry Jones. Even now, Jerry has surrounded himself with people that know more than him. He has a new defensive coordinator. He took the offensive coordinator from Jason Garrett, told him he wanted to be a head coach. He went and hired some people. And the Dallas Cowboys are better today because he went and surrounded himself with people smarter than he was.
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling tomorrow we'll be discussing this again and also discussing maybe Jim Buss's his comment about what Magic said. I think this is not going to kind of die away. It'll be a big topic going into the All-Star break, of course. And I have a feeling we'll be talking about this again here real soon. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. I want to thank Liddell the Closer Williams for being our guest. Make sure you follow him online at Liddell the Closer. I also want to thank Rally House for being a part of the sponsorship for this particular show. Make sure you go to rfsportsradio.com. Click on that Rally House button, which is right there on the front page of the site. You're going to get free shipping by listening to the show. And make sure you check us out on TuneIn Radio, on the TuneIn Radio app at RFSN. We'll see you guys tomorrow night, 10 p.m. May have a guest, may not, but at the very least, I will be back in Dallas and out of Montana. So I'm looking forward to that. Until tomorrow night, guys, everyone be safe. We'll talk to you later. Stay tuned.